Guys, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whenever it is you are watching or listening to this. It's Matt Haycox here, and welcome to another weekly roundup. It is actually the first one I've recorded in a few weeks. I've been a naughty boy. I've been breaking my own rules about discipline and consistency. And for that, I can only apologize and ask that you all punish me accordingly. But don't punish me so much that you don't listen, because even though I haven't recorded for a few weeks, I have actually still been making my notes each week. For those of you who are new to these weekly roundups, what I do is I kind of record on a Sunday like I am doing now, and I talk about some of the things that have happened for me, to me, good, bad, within the businesses that I operate in, within my life in general, and I share them with you on a Sunday night. And I know that a lot of you guys get benefit from this, because I do get a lot of messages, more messages about this kind of stuff than any other content that I write, actually, or make. And so much good feedback that I've actually had a phone call today with somebody to talk about turning these weekly roundups into a book, which is going to be very much one of my projects before Christmas. So not to actually get it published before Christmas, but certainly start getting it written and kicked into shape. So bear that in mind. I'll let you know when it's ready. I'm sure I'll be promoting the living daylights out of it. But yeah, in the meantime, don't worry that I haven't been recording for a few weeks, because I have still been making notes. Like I say, every day when something happens in business, I make a little note about it so that I can talk about it in these weekly roundups. So I've got about 3 or 4 weeks of notes of things that we can talk about, so you won't be left out, you won't be left short of information. We're going to be talking about culture, as always talking about culture and recruitment at the moment. Massive part of our businesses at the moment, and it should have been a big part of it long ago, so I hope some of you guys can catch the curve earlier than I did and not make some of the mistakes that I have made, which is why I always do this stuff, to really let you guys learn from my experiences. You know, as I always like to say, you only learn from mistakes, but they don't have to be your mistakes, they can be my mistakes, which make it a lot cheaper for you. What else are we talking about? Oh, we're going to be talking about platforms, single platforms and multi-platforms, because about a week or 10 days ago, Facebook and Instagram went down for the day, or good part of the day. Oh my goodness, what disruption it caused. But there's a massive learning lesson from that. We're going to talk about business generated from these videos and why you guys should be doing stuff too, building your personal brands. We're going to talk about meeting up with an old friend, a guy who didn't really want me to be his friend for a long time, but we resurrected that relationship. We're going to talk about generating leads from social media, and we're going to talk about evolving and changing as a person. So yeah, still quite a few bits to talk about, so I hope you're going to love it. I'm here recording, by the way, from Dubai. I think the last one of these I recorded in France on the boat, on the Sea Squirter. And I was supposed to then record in England, where I've been for the last few weeks, but I managed to, I don't know where the time went, honestly, I don't know where the time went in England, so we missed out on quite a few. But we're here in Dubai, where I've been living my best life, and I think, you know, that's something that, you know, I've been talking about it as well a lot lately, in some of these and some of my content in general. You know, the importance of really, you know, being happy, being able to do what you want to do, you know, I'm sure a lot of you guys look at kind of what I do and say, oh, that'd be great, but, you know, Matt's got more money, or I can't, you know, you can't afford it, or whatever it may be. But then that, you know, that has to be, I guess, your driver or your focus on what it is you want in life. You know, I've been recording a lot of content over the last few days about health and fitness. I've been back hammering the gym here, Trying to lose a bit of weight. I've been off the booze. I've been eating better food, and just, you know, just generally getting into the health and fitness. And a lot of you guys said to me, I said a week ago, you know, who wants to be in a health and fitness motivation group? You know, I'll make a motivation group for, you know, to kind of tell you guys about what I do, what works for me, what doesn't work for me. And I had about 35 people probably put their hand up and said, yeah, please put me down for that. You know, love to get involved. And what I actually did, I didn't do it as a group in the end. I made it as like a video because I thought it's better that I can share it with more people, not just the 35 people that said that they wanted to be a part of it. And put the first video up a couple of days ago. Obviously tag everybody in it who expressed an interest in me helping them. I think two people out of the tagged 35, you know, basically did as asked, commented, or, you know, kind of got involved in the process of what I was talking about. And really, that's just indicative of people's behaviors in general, really. You know, we're very good talkers, but we're not very good doers. And, you know, I mean, the whole health and fitness thing, you know, it's not rocket science. Again, I'm not a gym bunny. I've never been in amazing shape, but I'm really getting into the importance and the value of, you know, of what positive impact exercise can have on all of my life. You know, from just waking up and feeling better to being, you know, being better performer at work, to, you know, having better relationships with friends or women or whatever it may be. So I'm really into it, and like, and it's not hard, you know, it's not hard to go to the gym or to go and walk if you haven't got time for the gym, or you can't afford a gym, or to, you know, to watch some YouTube videos and learn some exercises to do in the park or to do in your garden or whatever it may be. You know, it's not hard, but you've got to fucking do it. And if you don't, you know, obviously you don't do the tasks, you don't get the end results. And yeah, I guess, you know, like the people who, for the same goes for the people saying, oh, you know, Matt's been having a great time in Dubai, or he's been, you know, loving life on the sea squirter. I have, but none of this is out of reach to anyone. You know, in the same way that, you know, a fatty like me can lose some weight and maybe even one day get a couple of abs showing, you know, I was once a bankrupt. I have had a couple of near bankruptcies still along the way. You know, I mean, I remember 4, 5, 6 years ago, probably more than that actually, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, when I was sat in my car in London waiting for a friend of mine to send me 60 quid so that I could fill my car up and be able to drive back from London to Leeds. Literally 6 years ago, I had to wait for someone to send me 60 quid petrol money. This summer, I'm filling the boat up with, you know, 6 grand worth of fuel in a petrol tank. So if I can do it, you can do it too. Whether it's money, whether it's health and fitness, whatever it is, you just got to decide if you want it. And if you don't want, you know, if you don't want it, I'm not telling you what you need to want, but what you do want will come at a cost of effort, you know, maybe a cost of giving some things up. But what do you want? You know, if you want the end results, you've got to put in the effort, you've got to follow the process in the meantime. And these processes are never rocket science. And I lay out my plans for you week in, week out, day in, day out on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, wherever it is, you know, none of what I do is a secret. Tell you how to do it. All you have to do is apply. So yeah. That is my thought of the day, and I guess actually that leads me on to one of the things that I was talking about here. That, you know, I've been evolving a lot. Yeah, I guess we all evolve, don't we, always? But, you know, I've been putting a lot of effort in lately to things like understanding culture, to wanting to change, you know, recruitment and retention, to, you know, to wanting to put more effort into businesses or change the things that I'm prepared to settle for. And I know 100% that, you know, people in my team, people in my businesses think that I'm changing, and probably don't like me for it. And you know what? They're right. I am changing. And I don't give a fuck that they're not happy. I don't give a fuck that they don't like me for it, because ultimately I am trying to take myself and our businesses to what I believe is a better place. They may not think it's a better place, but I do, hence why I'm doing it. And you know, that is going to take effort, it's going to take pain, it's going to take change, and some people undoubtedly will be left behind. And that is, you know, that I guess that's like anything in life. You know, I very much believe in the things that I want to do now. I think they're for the greater good. I think they're going to make me a better person. I think they're going to make me a better operator. And I think they're going to make our businesses a better place to be in, for the people who want to be in them. So think about that, you know, when you get pushback from people when you're trying to make changes in your life. You know, undoubtedly, the people that you're always surrounded with are going to, you know, they're going to act and feel and behave as they always have done. And that may not necessarily be, and it's probably very unlikely to be, conducive to your growth if you're trying to go to a different place. Obviously, you know, it's a cliche, it's an old adage of, you know, you are the product of the five people that you're around, or, you know, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. If you're the richest person in the room, you're in the wrong room, all these kind of things. And that's very much, I guess, you know, very much how I feel about this, that, you know, some of our businesses have got stagnant, some of our people and processes are stagnant and are probably the wrong people to be there. I don't want them to be the wrong people. I'd love them to change with me and come on the journey with us. But if they don't, no hard feelings. No hard feelings at all. And yeah, talking about culture, you know, we had an awkward conversation. Well, I say an awkward, I didn't really find it awkward. It was potentially going to be awkward. Particular team member in a team that's got six or seven people in it, you know, this guy, bit of a dickhead, to be honest. You know, terrible communicator, treats people very badly, you know, very much not a team player, quite a few other issues around him. And you know, I've talked in these roundups before about how I've made historical mistakes allowing little problems to stay embedded in the businesses, and you know, the little problems become bigger problems and bigger problems and bigger problems before they become insurmountable problems. And what's, you know, what again, what's happened historically is there'll be a, for example, a guy in one of our businesses that somebody had an issue with, probably because he was doing something wrong, to be fair, but we let it slide. And we let it slide, and we let it slide. And what happens is that one person who's not getting on with that person, they recruit someone else to be in their team of not getting on with him. And two people become three, three become four. And before you know it, you're 12, 18 months down the line, and you've got very embedded fractions within the business. And they're so embedded, they're so deep-rooted, that quite frankly, I think they're probably impossible to ever unwind. And you end up then with people leaving or people having to leave, you know, whether that's by their own accord or because you fire them. And undoubtedly, that's not the best place to be in. And you know, it's costly and it's problematic and it's bad for morale and it's many, many, many things. And I believe, listen, I'm super guilty of making these mistakes. And I believe very much they were mistakes. You know, for 10, 12, 15 plus years, I've been a terrible manager of people. I've been, you know, probably a very passive manager of many situations. And my style has really always been just to let things slide, let things slide, let things slide until I kind of wake up and blow up and I, fuck, you know, this is enough, you're fired, or this is dead, or whatever it may be. And that's not the right answer. So I really want to make a conscious effort nowadays that when we identify issues, as uncomfortable as it may be to deal with them, we deal with them on the outset, you know, on day one, because it may be uncomfortable a little bit in the beginning, but it'll be very, very uncomfortable as time goes on. And this particular person, you know, we sat down to talk with his direct line manager, who's been kind of growing into that position. Didn't want to have the conversation, but I explained that they needed to, and I joined them to have that chat, and you know, made it as jovial as possible, whilst being, you know, abundantly clear that there was an issue that needed resolving. And I mean, this particular person hasn't played out well for differing reasons, but I do believe that, you know, we had probably a positive conversation on the day, that had circumstances have been different, we, you know, would have saved a lot of heartache in the future. So I think, you know, that's a big takeaway, big learning for the day, that don't turn a blind eye to issues. You know, don't shy away from uncomfortable conversations. I don't mean be argumentative and be, you know, be stubborn, not stubborn, be pig-headed or bloody-minded or whatever it may be, but don't shy away from uncomfortable situations, because there's always someone to benefit and someone to grow from it. You know, I mean, I was in a restaurant with my friend the other day. We had a pretty shit meal, to be honest, and it's a restaurant we go to regularly, and the food was just shite. It was bland, it was tasteless, and, you know, the meat was small and blah blah blah, and the bill came at the end, and we were going to pay it anyway because, you know, we always go there and it's not really worth having a Barney over, but the maitre d' said to us, how was the food? And my friend said, yeah, it was great, really good, thank you, lovely. And I turned around to him and I said, why are you telling him it was lovely? I said, this food was fucking shit. I said, you know, the rice was tasteless, the pasta was bland, you know, this was that, that was the other. I said, listen, I'm not telling you that because I want a discount, I'm not telling you because I want it any different. I'm telling you because, to be honest, I think if I was in your position, I would want to know. You know, I'm the guy that wants you to tell me that I've got a bogey on my nose or I've got spinach in my teeth. Because if you don't tell me, how can I, you know, how can I make sure I don't look an idiot? So how can I fix things? So I think you will find that as uncomfortable as the conversations are, the people on the receiving end of them will 99 times out of 100 appreciate that you're having them, unless they're a complete fucking cock, in which case you're probably best shut of them at that point anyway. What else? Meeting up with an old friend. Back in 2008, when I went bankrupt, one of the people that financed me at the time, he'd become a good friend, and his business lost money. There is no way to sugarcoat that. They lent my business money. I had a personal guarantee on the money. The business went bankrupt. I went bankrupt. He lost his money. It was a shit situation, but I absolutely did not set out to screw him. However, I couldn't pay him back. And he has been fuming about it ever since. There's been a couple of times since then, over the last 12 years, where our paths have crossed and I've tried to, you know, resurrect the relationship, if that's the word, but he's just always been boiling about the situation and just never ever been able to, get past it. I have been doing some deals recently with a business where this particular guy his name keeps cropping up, and it just kept dawning on me that, you know what, A, I actually kind of miss enjoying his company of old, and B, there's got to be some mutual ways for us to make money here. And, you know, there can just be nothing gained from retaining enemies and holding a grudge. So I reached out to the guy, left him a voice note, just basically saying, listen, buddy, 12 years have passed now since you lost that money. I said, it's never easy losing money, but look, as a lender, I'm someone that loses money on a daily basis. And I said, and I believe that as a lender, you have a decision to make. You've got to ask yourself, did that person set out to fuck me? Or did circumstances in the usual course of business run away with themselves and a loss was caused? And if it was the former, you know, if they've set out to fuck you, then fine, cut your ties, go to town on them. But if no one set out to cause loss, you know, if a lender lent to try and make money and a borrower borrowed to try and make money, then I think you've got to ask yourself, why do you want to have a fight here? Because, you know, it was unavoidable, it was unintentional. Yes, it was horrible. But nobody set out to cause the other person harm. And if that's the situation, my belief is, you know, I've got a couple of people I deal with now, one person in particular, who's, you know, I've lost a lot of money to, and it's caused me a lot of headaches along the way. But I also know that, you know, that it was never really intentional, and he tried to help me in ways that actually this didn't work out. And you know, I've got a decision to make. I can fall out with them and, you know, lose a relationship and also lose the opportunity to make future money with someone. Or I can, you know, I can not be stubborn about it. I can swallow that situation and I can be open-minded to the fact that I can probably make some more money out of this guy in the future to make back some of my losses. And I can certainly maintain a friendship and have a relationship in my circle. And that is always the view I take. So anyway, so, and I just think, you know, it's just, there's just no upside to having enemies in life. It's negative energy, it's miserable, you know, it's draining, it's unproductive, you know, and. You know, there is nothing like having great relationships, happy smiley time, good energy, etc., etc. So I wanted to reach out to this guy. And like I said, I said to him, you know, you want to get together? I'd love to buy you dinner. I don't want any money from you, don't worry. I just don't want to have animosity between us. And I also think that our paths can cross to maybe, you know, make some money back that you lost and rebuild a relationship. So if you don't want to do that, no hard feelings. I won't ask you again. I won't bother you again. But if you want to do it, dinner's on me and let's see where we go. He, you know, hats off to him. He said, yeah, please buy me dinner. And we had dinner, and since then we have met up two more times, had a few phone calls, and we've got a seven-figure deal on the table together at the moment, which was unthinkable. I mean, beyond unthinkable two months ago. If people in my circle would have said Matt and this guy were looking at a seven-figure deal together, you know, we'd have laughed at the situation. But until you try, you don't know. And I'm super pleased I reached out to him, and I'm super pleased that he let me buy him some dinner. So that was that. What else? Oh yeah, Facebook. I mentioned this at the beginning of the video. Facebook and Instagram went down, didn't they, about 10 days ago. And influencers the world over were shaking in their boots. And plenty of people were sat at home, sat on the toilet, flicking through their phone, not knowing what to do because they couldn't look at any pretty pictures on Instagram. Maybe they had to turn to Twitter. But listen, the very, very important story here, the reliance on one particular platform, on one particular source, whatever that source is, source of leads, source of income, source of business, source of enjoyment, the fewer number of sources you have, the more susceptible to the risk of those going down you are. And as I have this conversation with influencer mates of mine all the time, and they never fucking listen to me. They completely disagree with me. I mean, I've got some mates who are, you know, they're strong on Instagram. They're 1 million+ followers on Instagram. But they're only on Instagram, you know, they're not on Facebook, not on YouTube, not on Twitter, they don't have an email list where they actually own that data themselves. You know, they are completely susceptible to anything that could go wrong on Instagram. Now listen, we all know that as a bare minimum, the Instagram algorithm gets worse every week. You know, you get less likes, less comments, less reach. That's on a good day. When it goes down, well, I mean, that's your platform finished. That's your business closed for the day. You know, another friend of mine, she got hacked recently. She doesn't particularly know why. She's not, her Instagram account's been down for the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. You know, she's another influencer, someone who makes a living off her Instagram account, and it's not there. So if this isn't a wake-up call to everybody, that you have got to get multiple sources of business, of leads, of income, then I don't know what is. You know, if you're strong on any one particular platform, then you're in a great position, because use that strength to start moving people, sorry, not necessarily moving them away, but creating extra platforms with it. So if you're strong on Instagram, you can be turning around to your Instagram followers and saying, please follow me on Facebook, or please subscribe to my mailing list, or please add my YouTube channel, or whatever it may be. And if you're not particularly strong on a platform, then you need to go out and get strong on multiple platforms. You know, if you are, I'm trying to give examples, if you have got all of you, if you get all of your business from one salesperson, then maybe you need to start looking at growing that sales team, because if that one person leaves, what is that going to do to your business? If you only have one method of lead generation, maybe that's pay-per-click, and maybe it's on Google for argument's sake. You know, again, you're susceptible to being kicked off Google, or the algorithm changing, or a competitor coming in with deeper pockets than you, and you know, and hammering your budgets. Whatever it may be, one source of anything is risk. Risk, risk, risk. Unnecessary risk and unavoidable, and sorry, and very avoidable. Very, very avoidable situation. So, so yeah, think about that. Take a look at your businesses. What are they relying on for you? What are you relying on them for? And what can you do to mitigate that risk and to grow your platforms, or to grow your team, or to diversify? That's the word, actually. You know what? I could have made this whole speech much shorter if I just thought of the word diversify 4 minutes ago. But yeah, diversification is the key. Whilst on the theme of social media, when you're putting out your content, what are you putting it out for? Right, you're not putting it out just to look pretty. Ultimately, everything you're doing, I assume, is to try and make money in some way, shape, or form, to make money, to make sales. And you're going to make those sales by turning leads into customers. Now, on a couple of our businesses, we create content on Instagram. I'm sure you guys will know this. Even if you don't do it as a business, you'll see them when you're flicking through Instagram for fun. You see these polls, don't you? You know, when people say choice A or choice B, like, you know, some of the hot girls will be wearing two outfits, you know, outfit in yellow or outfit in red, you know, and you've got to click which one it is. And obviously, and then at the end, they show that poll. And it might be, oh, 62% of the people thought I should be in red, and 38% of the people thought I should be in yellow, or whatever it may be. But the big point that nearly everybody misses here is that is hot, hot data about the underlying question. So if, or like me, you're a shoe retailer, you're a fashion retailer, for example, and somebody says, and we ask the question, do you prefer the model in the blue jeans, or do you prefer the model in the black jeans? There's two pieces of information you're going to get from that. What I think is the lesser important information is the fact that, for example, more people say blue than black. You could argue that if you think that more people like the blue than the black, then you could go and buy more blue jeans than black jeans. So maybe that you think that's a data, but for me, that's not the important data. The really exciting data is when you look on your Instagram account, you will see exactly who says they like black jeans and exactly who says they like blue jeans. Fuck me. If that is not the warmest, hottest sales opportunity you are going to get today, then what is? You know, if Steve says he likes the blue jeans, you've got to be reaching out to him and entering conversation, nurturing that lead, warming him up, whatever that may be, giving him a discount code, inviting him to the shop, just engaging in conversation about blue jeans. You know, and you've got to forget vanity metrics, right? Forget the fact that you may have 10,000 followers or a million followers or whatever it may be. All you care about, all you should be caring about, is the hot ones that are going to make you money. And if 67 people have said they like blue jeans, then jump on those 67 people, forget everybody else, jump on those 67 people and sell them some fucking blue jeans, or whatever product it is you sell. But you understand what I'm saying? There's all these little funky things you can do on Instagram or Facebook or different social media platforms, you know, polls, questions, you know, whatever, that where you can ask a question and get feedback. But not only are you getting feedback, you actually know who is giving you that feedback, and you can then target those people in the DM or however it is you're going to do it. So, so important, so simple, like everything I always talk about, so simple, but it just needs doing. And just to wrap up with, you know, I get a lot of people say to me, these are not the people that know me, the people that I'm kind of in business with, saying, you know, why do you do these videos, or why do you create this content? What business do you actually get from it? Now, my answer is always, I can't tell you about one specific piece of business that I've got from one individual video or from one Instagram post or one Facebook post or whatever it may be. But what I can tell you as a global collective is that if you don't know me, then you can't do business with me. You know, have you ever done business with someone you don't know? You don't. Okay. You may have gotten to know them through another method, but you do business with people that you know. So when you are known, you get opportunities. The more known you are, the more opportunities you will get. So whilst I can't specifically think of one specific example from one video, I can tell you that week in, week out, I will get messages, emails, you know, on email, on social media, you know, unsolicited opportunities, whether that's opportunities to invest in a business or to make a loan. You know, obviously most of these, to be honest, are not anything that I'm interested in, but that's the same in life anyway. You know, whether it's social media, whether it's the telephone from a cold call in the office, you know, most things probably aren't of interest to you. But unless you get to see these things, how do you ever get to make the distinction between what you do and don't want? You know, from my YouTube channel, I got contacted by Channel 5 to go on Rich House Poor House. And again, you know, people say, well, why did you go on Rich House Poor House? What's in it for you? Now, other than having a great experience on there, what's in it for me is good exposure. I can't tell you what's going to come from that particular, from the exposure, but I can tell you that if people don't know who I am, they can't deal with me. So, you know, the reason I do any of this stuff is so that, you know, people know who I am, people know me to deal with me, and also they'll remember me, because, you know, and actually this was on my notes, but this is an interesting point. Somebody I've been having a bit of a sparring session with lately obviously thought he was gonna be clever and insult me, and he says to me, you know, one of your problems is that you need to get consistent with your brand, and you actually need to know what your brand is. You know, one minute you're trying to pretend to be a credible business person, the next minute you're posting a picture of your ass. Now, he's obviously saying that to try and insult me, but he's completely missing the fucking point, right? I'm not inconsistent with my branding. I'm not inconsistent in any way, shape or form. I am me, whether I'm talking to you on YouTube, whether I'm mucking around on Instagram, whether I'm hanging out with my daughter or whether I'm sat in the office. My personality is my personality. And if you don't like it, then you don't like it. If you don't like me on Instagram, then you're not gonna like me in the office. If you're not gonna like me in the office, you're not gonna like me at dinner. And if you don't like me in any of those places, you're not gonna do business with me anyway. So I don't have an inconsistent, an inconsistent brand. Yes, I may tone it up and tone it down, you know, in that I'm obviously not gonna be, you know, doing naked cartwheels in the office, but I'm still gonna be jovial and jokey, because that is me. You know, I'm losing my train of thought. I'm trying to think how we got onto this. But a bit because we were talking about you know, why I do this stuff. So, you know, people get to know me so that then when there's a choice of two or three or four people to deal with, or someone thinks, you know, who can I go to for funding, or who can I go to for investment, or, you know, who's involved in this business or in this space, my name is always going to come up ahead of somebody who isn't doing this stuff, because you're going to know me more than somebody else is going to be known if they are shy, whether it's because they're shy or reclusive or because they think that they don't need to promote themselves or whatever it is. You know, personal branding is just any other form of marketing and advertising. So that's why I do these videos. You know, I'm sure that doesn't come as a great surprise to a lot of people. Yes, I do genuinely enjoy knowing that it helps some of you guys. You know, yes, there is an altruistic position in it to some degree, but I would be lying, and you know I'm not a liar, I would be lying if I said it was purely for that. Of course I don't invest. Yeah, this is 35 minutes long, this video, right? This will be the third or fourth piece of content I've made today. I probably spend 2 hours a day making videos, engaging in social, doing posts, etc., etc. I don't spend 2 hours a day for the good of my health and for purely altruistic reasons. I do it because I know that it gets me known It gets people to engage with me, and being known and being engaged with ultimately leads to opportunities. And the more opportunities you get, the more fun you're going to have, the more friends you're going to make, the more money you're going to make. And that's it, really. Can't really say any more than that. And that's quite a few things for this week's roundup. Like I said, I'm sorry I missed the last few weeks. Punish me, punish me, punish me. I'm going to get better next week, I promise. Hope you enjoyed it. You know, really, you know, what I think is some really interesting stuff in here today. I don't say that because I want you to listen to me. I genuinely, you know, I only talk to you about this stuff that I think is really rocking my world at the moment. So yeah, fun and games. Hope you enjoyed listening to it. If you're listening to it on iTunes, Spotify, however it may be, you listen to it. If you're watching it on YouTube, you can listen to the audio version. If you're driving in your car or sat on the train or whatever it may be, you can listen to me and you don't even have to look at me. You'll probably see the highlights of this on Instagram, on Facebook, and even maybe a little bit on Twitter. So you can get me anywhere. I'm the Matt Haycox, TheMattHaycox. Find me on social. If you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe to my channels. Make sure you leave me a comment or leave me a little review. Never ask for any money, but I will always appreciate a bit of love and a shout out. So until the next time, have a great week. Hope you enjoyed listening, and I hope you get some success and some fun along the way from implementing the stuff that I've been talking to you about. See you later, guys. Take care.